Did I go through the six Hebrew words for lion?
No, you ended up with Revelation 5:5, where the lion has prevailed. You know, Psalm 50, God speaking, the lion reference. Zephaniah 3, talking to Jerusalem, that night, right, that's lion. Not,
that's enough.
Hosea 13.
That's enough.
I'm just trying to give you some wiggle room.
The word tear, the word roar.
You going to try to impress anybody anymore here, Mr. Novello?
No.
You are the only person who's a computer geek who can piss him off more than I do.
That's a little... Without these little machines, that'd be hopeless.
Did you turn that on?
Yes, I did. It's functional now.
Okay.
Well, let's start on Hydra, the first DECON. Remember, the three, Leo is the last sign. The three sub-signs are Hydra, the crater, or the cup, and the crow, the corvus. And notice how the crow and the cup and the Hydra are all connected. Hydra extends, it's not, we get no understanding of how big Hydra is. It extends over 120 degrees in the circuit of the sky. So it covers a third, over a third of, and that's what the Revelation, in the book of Revelation, where it talks about a third of the star. Anyway. You can't understand Revelation without understanding the stars. Now, it's a female serpent, which is interesting, and because the word Hydra is a female word. She's the mother of evil. The word Hydra means abhorred or hated. It extends from beneath Virgo all the way to beneath Cancer, but we don't get the extent of it here. It's much greater. The brightest star is in the front half of the first, right above the, right beside the ship's mast. That star name is Alphard, P-H-A-R-D. It means to separate or to put away. You need to, why don't you go ahead and get your little helper?
Yeah, I'd rather write than to look. We all learn differently, old boy.
Thanks for your permission. The next star is Al Dryan, the Abhorred. The next is Minkar Al-Sugya, the piercing of the deceiver. From the very beginning, let's just set everything in order again. Let's go to Genesis 3. You to try to imagine a state of being where you did not have the capacity to think that the condition you were in at any given moment should be different than it is. You understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Not your, the surroundings, your the people you're with, the weather, heat or cold or suffering. You did not have the capacity to think that condition should be different than it is. You had no capacity to want more than you have. You were not aware of yourself in any way. You were only aware of God and others. That's where Adam and Eve were in the garden. Except the word for that in Hebrew, or I mean in Greek, is technon, and it means darling infant. And that position of being incapable of believing the situation you're in should be different than it is called innocence. Now that's God created, physically made, Adam and Eve, in innocent. They were innocent. But he doesn't want innocence. He wants holiness. And holiness is tested innocence. Understand that? We don't know how many tests they passed. But we know that once God told Adam to name the names, then they had the capacity to fall, because they then could see separateness. Once you name something, you're separate from it. So they could not have fallen until God told them to name the names. But by the same token, they could have not have transferred the innocence into holiness unless they named the names. So that's the subtlety of that test. It's not very subtle if you see it. Now the problem herein is, and this is the problem of the modern church, and for us, each of us, we've been told in Matthew 18 that except you be converted and become as that little child, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of God. Now, that means that you must lose the capacity to think that the condition you're in any time, are the surroundings, whether it be hot, cold, or indifferent, you lose the capacity to think that the condition you're in should be different than it is. Now that's the beginning of the test. Do you understand that? The problem is the modern church doesn't even understand that, because they're teaching people how to be right and what to do and what's wrong, and so they're teaching more eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You want to see the least read scripture in modern evangelical Christianity? Go to Matthew 23. We'll come back here to. I feel like going on a rant, so I'm not going on a rant.
Half an hour from now, we'll say we didn't do what we wanted.
Shut up, will you? Nobody invited you here, so you have to keep your mouth shut.
Oh, I don't.
I don't come from the teacher. I come from the love.
Mike, if you're going to be here, you have a task. You have to keep him in line.
Okay. I've been doing that. I just haven't done that here yet.
What verse in 23?
Let's start in verse 13. These are the woe ones.
You said 23?
Matthew 23, verse 13. We're going to start. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither allow or suffer ye them that are entering in to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass or travel over sea and land to make one proselyte or one convert. And when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. You travel over sea and land to make one convert, and when he is made, you make him twice the child of hell than you are. What does that mean? We're already children of hell because we've been taught to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that caused the fall of mankind. But now they're teaching more rules, so they're twice the child of hell. You see that? Now let's go back to Matthew 18. So you didn't think I'd made this up. Verse 3. He said, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted." Except you be converted. That doesn't mean accepting Jesus as your personal Savior. Except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. And the becoming of little children, if you've had children or been around them, you know that before about 18 months, the child is unaware of themselves. And that's what that word means. You have to move towards a place of being unaware of yourself. And that requires what the greatest, what Jesus said is the greatest man that ever lived, John the Baptist. That requires you to constantly bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. So that you constantly, until repentance isn't a thing you do periodically, it's a way of life. It's a way that you never, ever, 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 ever give importance or breath to your mind or your emotions. You live in that moment of dependence on the Father, ever and always. In Him, there's only the eternal now. There's not any time. There's no worrying about the past, concern about the future. It's only now. And anything else is sin. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so now let's go back. Where should we go? Back to Genesis 3. Everything in the Bible and everything in the stars is about this one little verse. Lord God said unto the serpent, verse 14, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, or better stated, by thy belly shalt thou be led, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life." And we'll take another one. That's what I'm doing tonight, is going on side trips. You understand, that's all you've eaten your whole life? It's not, what you eat is what gives you sustenance and satisfaction. You don't get sustenance and satisfaction from food, you get sustenance and satisfaction from the things that lead you in your mind. And as long as you're eating, and letting your mind have its sway with you, then you're only and ever eating dust. And some of you might like expensive dust, like diamonds. Some of you want air dust, like reputation. But it's all dust. It's meaningless crap. And that's what your mind has been eating. Where God intended you for to eat the flesh of the Son, that you gain sustenance and satisfaction only from His life, His flesh. You gain worth only from His blood. So you have no more worries about worth or anything. You're at the top of the pyramid. You're as high as you can go. But anyway, by that, that's what, and the snake is always the metaphor, unless you believe in talking snakes. The snake is always the metaphor for the human mind. And the snake, that's why I said, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Everything in the Bible and everything in the stars is about this aspect of the evil one bruising the heel of Christ, and Christ bruising or crushing the head of the serpent. You understand that? Now, the head of the serpent in you is you. Now, crush or overcome means that you have lived enough, hopefully, you're all here old enough to have done it anyway, to seen the stupidity and emptiness of all human effort. If you haven't seen that yet, then you're a fool. You're still living in, oh, what if, and oh, if only. So it doesn't matter where, how much money you had, where, how much you're still, all human effort is vain and fruitless and empty. Vain doesn't mean you like to look at yourself in the mirror like Nick. Vain means empty, fruitless, without purpose like Nick.
Well, I will say, the other day, you know, I was shaving. I thought, man, I'll be 58. I don't see no wrinkles yet. Then I woke up in the morning. I woke up and had that three blemish thing there. I thought, I understand. Time to be humble, man. But, Tom, it's hard to be humble when it's...
Well, you're as good as you are, yeah. Okay. Maybe it's vain to try to talk to Nick.
Hey, you know, Oli, let me mention one thing. I told Oli, now seriously, last week I was sitting in my room and I was reading, and I'm going through these words, and Oli used blah, 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 and I go through the words, and it's like, I know it's just, it was like in my heart, but I saw what I looked like, the putrefied flesh, and it didn't startle me, but I thought, how can you, I love to cut up with everybody, but how can I feel like, yeah, I'm a really important dude, like blah, 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 when you know who you are, like you, at best you're putrefied flesh, you know, you're dirt, that's what the scriptures say I am, my righteousness, as you've heard Oli say it. But anyway, yeah, I like to cut up with Oli because Oli's a pain in the butt. You like to give him back what he dishes out. Okay, Oli, I'm done.
That's highly doubtful.
Upon thy belly thou shalt go.
By thy belly shall I be led. By your appetites you shall be led. That's what the whole human race is led by, their appetite. By the Hebrew is a strange language. This is a correct translation, upon thy belly shall I go, but another correct translation is by thy belly shall I be led. Let's put a code on this. Let's go to Philippians 3.
Would that be the, I'm assuming that's the same thing as what Jesus said to the to somebody, the lust of your father you will to do? That was the Pharisees, right? I mean, the lust there is the same thing as the belly thing, right?
Right. He said that to the Jews that believed on him. You are of your father the devil.
Oh, I thought that was Pharisees. Oh, well.
No, that was even worse because he said it to the Jews that believed on him.
Yeah.
All right.
In other words, Jesus wasn't any nicer than Oli is.
What?
It was only important once.
What'd you say?
I said Jesus was just as mean as you are.
All right. See, what gets me, Mike, is these guys, they say those stupid little things, and then they're so proud of themselves that they just giggle and laugh like little girls. And he's another one does the same thing. They just giggle and laugh like little girls.
I love the expression on his face. That's what cracks me up.
Such a girly man trying to be.
He's a straight face.
Well, Philippians 3.
Philippians 3. Brethren, in verse 17. Brethren, be fellows together of me, and mark them which walked so as you have us for an example. The only thing he was telling them to follow was his faith, and that's what the previous. You find Philippians 3? I'm going to embarrass the snot out of you if you didn't.
It's in the back of the book.
What?
It's in the back of the book.
Yes, it is.
For many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly or their appetites, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. So what that's saying, the same thing. They're led by their belly. Their glory is in their appetites, which is their shame. And so that's what's so, it's so sad about these the believers that get involved in politics and, oh, we're going to be champions, or they're trying to make themselves acceptable to the one who has the right of first redemption, which is the God of this world. But anyhow, okay. So everything about the scriptures and about the star map is the battle between the seed of woman and the obviously that means that woman never, that's the word seed in the Hebrew there is sperma. It means not sperma, but it means sperm. It means it's zeroa, which means the sperm of something, reproduction. The seed of woman, and woman never had a seed in existence. So that's the virgin birth. It had to be a virgin birth, so you wouldn't be of your father, the devil. Now, that doesn't mean that Eve screwed Satan. It means that once they ate of the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, they became children of the devil. And even if you believe on his name, unless you accept your death, you're still a child of the devil. Because your mind will always cause you to do his will. Everybody understand that? So, now let's look at Hydra some more. And where it says the seed of woman bruises the head of the serpent, bruises the Hebrew word shuf, which means to crush. Now, many people are spending their lives being in battle with Satan. It's all denominations. That's all they do is everyone have deliverance ministries. Well, let's look at this battle of Satan. We're going to start in Luke 10. No, let's start in Matthew 17. Matthew 12, I'm sorry. Because this is who Christ is battling as his Hydra. Verse 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all people were amazed and said, Is this not the son of David? Or in other words, is this not Messiah? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils by... This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Then Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against... Now, you got to hear what he says here. This is extremely important. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house, or in the word house there is the same word for temple, every city or temple divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house or temple and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man? Then he will spoil his house. And he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Now, as I said before, every man that has ever been born since the day of the fall, which means every man born, was the Antichrist. Anti isn't the word for against. It's the word, it's a Greek transliteration. Anti is a transliteration. It's the Greek word which means instead of. You are the temple of the living God, according to the scriptures. Who, then, is the instead of Christ and you the temple? And all men, I don't care if he's a preacher, who is the instead of Christ in that temple? It's his mind. So here he says, how can you get rid of this unless this one's father is defeated? That's what he's saying in this parable. You understand that? All right, so let's now go to Luke 10. No, that's not good. Let's go to John 12. Verse 28. This is just before the crucifixion. And Jesus says, Father, glorify thy name. Then came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. And Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the prince of this world be cast out. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And so, again, you'll see in increasing that Satan is defeated on the cross, and he's no more to be messed with. You don't give him any breath, you give him no importance. But what you do if you run around trying to cast out demons all the time, you are paying attention to doctrines of demons. You understand that? And so that's as far as you're going to be able to go spiritually. You will never understand the mystery of God because you're still playing around in something that Satan, that God has defeated. Now, I'm not saying you have to be a fool to think there wasn't demon possession. But in 30-some years, almost 40 years of a believer, there's only been one time that I saw true demon possession. I've seen a jillion people act like they were, and a jillion preachers acting like everybody in the universe had every time he had a sore throat, he had a demon. But I've had one experience where I knew that someone was demon-possessed as a believer. Now, before I was a believer, when I was all over the world, I saw it all over the place. There are three things that have to happen for a demon to take possession. Now, Satan's defeated, but his minions aren't. The three things that have to happen, these three things are what cause demon possession. One is you have to worship them. Worship just means give them breath. Second, illicit sex. And third is drug use. That's the entrance for demons. and I won't bore you with a story about this little girl, a little 13-year-old girl that spoke with a man and told me every sin I'd committed. But again, it wasn't a big battle. It was in the name of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, be gone. And it was gone. Well, that's another story. All right. Let's go to Acts 26. We're doing all this is so we can all see and so you can know that the Hydra and Satan have been defeated. Okay? What did I say? Go Acts 26.
Acts 26.
This is where Paul is talking about his conversion. And this is incredibly important. Listen, verse 14, he's before King Agrippa. Verse 14, and when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice, and well, let's go. In verse 13. 12. He was sent to Damascus by the high priest with letters or the authorization to persecute and kill the Christians in Damascus, Syria. And in verse 12 it says, and whereupon as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. That's a bad translation. What it says in Greek, it says it's becoming very difficult for you to resist the divine impulse. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appointed unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Now notice, he tells him you're to be a witness of this thing which he has seen just now, this incredible revelation of Christ, and of those things in which he will appear unto him. It's never, oh, this is what Jesus did for me. You understand what the difference is? And he's not going to speak about anything that hasn't been wrought in him by Christ Jesus. He's not going to make up stories. Like, you know, oh, the testimony of a new believer is so sweet. No, it isn't. It's bullshit. Because you teach them to lie. They lie about it. So, but if they're really bad, then they'll have a better testimony. Do you know what I mean? Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. Now Satan's already defeated. But the power of Satan hasn't been defeated, because the power of Satan is the antagonism that perfects his bride in you. In other words, if automatically he snapped his fingers and you were perfect, then you wouldn't have been, you wouldn't be perfect, because you wouldn't be perfect is the word teleos in the Greek that means fully tested. You had to have been tested in each of these areas. And the main cause of your test is your mind and your emotions. Your mind is always going to think up some crap to do, and it's always lying. Your emotions are going to always tell you one thing. They're always a lie. The truth is, you're always free. You never have a need. You've been perfected by one offering. It's impossible for you to have a want. It's finished. Every knee is already bowing. Every tongue is already confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everything is finished. All you have to do is sit down. All right. From the power of Satan unto God. That's biggie.
Now let's go to
John 16. It's talking about the Holy Spirit. Verse 7, he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." Of sin, because of what they do. No, it doesn't say that, does it?
No.
Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because they're not meeting the standards of the Bible. No. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father. That's the only righteousness there is. That righteousness is all that can be judged. Of judgment, because they always screw up. No. Of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. The prince of the world is judged. In other words, he's gone. He's dead. He's buried. Let's go to now to 2 Corinthians. Well, that's not that we're going to spend all night doing that. Let's go to Hebrews 2. This is pre kindergarten Hydra stuff. Stuff we all should have known. Hebrews 2. Saying in verse 12, starting verse 12. Saying, "I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil." He's destroyed. First John 3, one more. Verse 2. "Beloved, now we are the sons of God, or the children of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." That means if you have the only hope that Jesus recognizes as hope, which is his resurrection in you, then you will be purified automatically, even as he is pure. You don't ever have to go around running, trying to take care of yourself. You don't run around. There are no ought to's in the scriptures, if you really understand. There's no shoulds or ought to's. There's only the description of life in two different environments. One in eternity, one in time and space. If you're in time and space, then you got more to do than you ever dreamed of. If you're in eternity, you rest. And you're seated with him on the mercy seat. That's it, your rightful heritage. You are seated with him under the wings of the cherubim. The perfect place of rest, the perfect place of peace. Because he is peace, he is rest, he is joy. Amen?
Amen.
Now, just as a quick aside, the place under the wings of the cherubim, that place is called the oracle of God. That's why it says in 1 Peter, "If any man speak, let him speak as from the oracle of God." So that you don't let your speech be seasoned with salt. In other words, let there be the component of eternity in everything you say. That's the mystery of God. That's your rightful heritage. All right. 1 John 3. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifest to take away our sin. In him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Now, do you understand what that means? Because every one of you sin today. Every one of us.
Yeah, the only one that's born of him is Jesus.
He's the only one that's without sin. But if you say you're without sin, you're a liar. So this is big deal, right?
Yeah.
It's him. It's not about you. All right. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not, and whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, and even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The devil is defeated, the devil is dead, his works are destroyed. The only ones that are here are man's mind. That's enmity against God. Isn't subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Alright. So if Satan's defeated, then what in the hell's going on? There's only one thing going on in time and space, and that's the perfection of the bride of Christ, the church. Do you realize that every writer of the New Testament thought they were living in the last day? They didn't possibly understand the depth of our rebellion. That's the problem. The only reason time still exists is because of our rebellion. Anytime you somebody you haven't forgiven, you're in rebellion. Anytime you judge somebody, you're in rebellion. Anytime you're offended by anyone, you're in rebellion. Because you've fallen from a strong city. It's finished. You're at peace. Why? There's one of my favorite scriptures in Jeremiah. Why gad ye about so much to change yourself? Well, I don't feel like talking anymore.